Take the Bibles, turn back to Isaiah 58. I'm going to read back through my notes, and then we're going to try to go off a couple places I feel like the Lord showed me this morning that what Jesus had to say about this matter. In Isaiah 58, we find in the very first verse, he said, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." Now, we're not of the house of Jacob, and we're not of Israel, but we got a nation that's sin against God. A nation that actually has had more knowledge of God than the nation of Israel did. They had no understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he'd come to do. And we've also been given the Holy Spirit. The people in this nation has been saved. They have the Spirit of God and who teaches us, and yet I cannot say that we're in a better shape than they were. They were idolatrous. We are idolatrous in this nation. They were given over to pleasure and wickedness. And then the United States is given over to pleasure and wickedness. And I'm glad for every light that we've got. They had light during this time. There were people that were saved. There were people that were living for God and were right with God. But they were few. That seems to be the condition of the United States of America today. It seems to be getting fewer and fewer. And this admonition goes out that we're to cry aloud. The Bible says, you know, do you realize that we owe every person on this planet, those of us that are saved, you have a debt? We all do. We owe every man the gospel, the Bible says. Paul, in his lifetime, said he did everything he could to pay his debt, what he owed. He said he was free from the blood of all men. I can't say that. I wish I could, but I can't say that. I'm thinking about this boy I asked prayer for today, Alan Humphrey. As far as I know, he's not saved. I think he's got a little religion, but I don't think he's saved. He's heard the gospel. He come here one time to hear me preach, and I give the gospel several times during that message because I wanted the men that come from my work to hear the gospel. They've heard it at every Christmas. When we have our little company party, and just about always my boss will call on me to pray and has for the last 4 years, and I give the gospel every time because I want everybody that I work with to hear the gospel and know that Jesus Christ is the only answer for everybody. And we've been given that admonition to cry aloud, spare not. But I can't say that I've done everything the Holy Spirit has told me to do. I can't say that, hey, I don't know if, I know we can't witness to every person on the planet, but we can each do our part. And we can try to send people out to the far reaches and get the gospel out as far as we can. And we need to ask ourselves, are we crying aloud? Are we crying aloud out of our purse? Because our purse says a lot about how far the gospel reaches in our lives. By supporting missions, by getting the Word of God, by supporting our local assembly, paying for tracks, paying for gas, for buses, encouraging those that are working by being there to help. Well, we can't all do it all. But we can always offer to help. In other words, I might not can go to all the nursing homes here in this area, but if somebody asks me to come to one, I can help. I can go when I can go. And I need to be obedient, listening to the God's word. And God said, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice as a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. And they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Every meeting in Congress, they open up with what? How much you think they're really interested in hearing what God has to say to them? The majority of them. I wonder if even the fella that stands up to pray for them, I wonder if he even knows the chaplain. I wonder if he even cares. Knows. I don't know. I can't read nobody's heart, and I'm no man's judge. But when you just look at the way things are, and you just don't see too much interest in what God has to say in any matter. I know the blood of innocent unborn children continues to pour out in our nation, and there's a great cost coming on us for that. We can lay it aside and act indifferent about it, or we can try to vote our conscience or whatever. But I'm telling you what, we need to cry aloud. Aloud! That's what that means, aloud. That your voice might be heard. Make it heard. When I first got saved and first started coming to this church, there wasn't too many people in the county that didn't know about gospel life. Or Cabarrus County. Or Davie County. Or Iredell County. It's far reaching. There was a cry. It was loud with the gospel. I ain't saying everything was right then. I'm sure it wasn't. But there was a lot of people here at that time had a vision for souls. Hey, them people are still going to, are still perishing. It's still God's will that none should perish. It's still our debt and still our duty to get out the gospel. They claim to delight in knowing God and claim to be righteous and ask for justice. Consider those words. Think, ask yourself. Am I really hearing what God has to say? Am I obedient to what He tells me? In verses 3 through 5, how do we fast, if we do? What are we seeking God for? Are we entreating Him for our pleasure? I know what a lot of people entreat, oh God, you know, help me, you know, because, man, I don't want to suffer. I want a good president here that's going to create good jobs and so I can make good money and live at ease. But that's not what we've been called to do. We've been called to suffer alongside our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For the gospel's sake. I'm not telling everybody in here that, well, you know, you need to live a life of like Paul did with no family, with no goods, with no home. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, are we hearing God what He would have us to do, and everything that He would have us to do, or or as I feel like I often would do myself, just try to ease my conscience, do what I can to make sure that I ease my conscience, that I can say, well, I'm busy, I'm doing this, or I'm doing that. But how well am I really listening to God? And that's what we need to each ask ourselves all the time. Am I doing what God wants me wants me to do? Or are we doing it for our own pleasure? See, they delight. It's a delight to them to approach unto God and ask Him of His ways. But are they right with God? God says, no, you don't even know me. You ain't got a clue what it is that I want. Verses 6 and 7 gives us a fast that God has chosen. Let's read that. Is not this the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? And when thou seest the naked, that thou dost cover him, thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. God said, the fast I want is not that you cause your body to suffer doing without food, doing without water. Well, that's okay, you do that. He said, it's okay that you do that, but that's not what I want you to do. If it'll help you to do what I want you to do, then do it. Then he goes, he told them plainly what it is he wanted them to do. He wanted to loosen the burden of those that were under a yoke of bondage. Now, the devil is the god of this world. And this nation and this world is under his yoke. They're under bondage. Somebody just mentioned a young man that's struggling with drugs. He's under bondage. He's under a yoke. Now, it's good that we mention him here in prayer, but how are we laboring for those that are under a yoke in prayer? You got it wrote down somewhere? Oh, God, help those. Well, we talk about how wicked drugs are. But by the grace of God, you're not caught up in that. You could have been. Do you got them down there and you remember them once in a while? Oh, God, help those that are shackled. How many have ever listened to that show, Unshackled? Someone had a vision for people that are shackled by sin, by drugs, by alcohol, by sex, by all kinds of things. We think about the immorality of our nation, but do we pray for those who are trapped and in bondage to it? Do we try to make a difference in our community to stop this mess? Do we cry aloud? Are we making ourselves heard that we don't want this kind of garbage filling the minds of the people of this country? I know some of y'all remember back when Ronald Reagan first went into office, there was a strong push right there to do away with pornography. And the major push was in what they call light pornography, like Playboy, and anyway, all these bags. And so it was in every stand, in every 7-Eleven, in every so and so in the county, and they used to have them right up front. Remember? Y'all remember that? Yeah. Huh? You remember that? And then there was also a strong push against child pornography and dealing and taking and stopping these predators from destroying more lives. So that's what happens. They destroy them, and they become what these have become. Most of them now are predators. One time, somebody preyed on them. That's a fact. Most child molesters were molested as children. That's a fact. So you can look at them about how horrible they are, but you don't know where they've been. It is horrible. And we ought to cry aloud. And they were trying to do something against it. And then come along Bill Clinton. Put in, what was that old wicked hussy's name? Is over the FBI? I shouldn't say that, I know. You know what I'm talking about? That woman that looked like kind of like Frankenstein. You know what I'm talking about.
Reno.
Yeah, Reno, yeah. Somebody got to witness to her. Praise God. Somebody needs to witness to her. Woman needs to be saved. She had them to stop every case that was working on that kind of pornography. Wrote a letter. Shut it down. Why? She was being entreated by somebody. It certainly wasn't the Lord. But this kind of stuff is raging in our country. What are we doing? How are we crying against it? Are we crying in God's ears? Lord, show me what I can. You know, don't pray if you're not willing to be the answer.
Amen.
Don't pray for nothing if you're not willing to be the answer to that prayer. Because it's worthless. 9 times out of 10, when God deals with you to pray about something, it's because He wants you to do something. And sometimes, praise God, He intercedes divinely and puts other people in that place to answer that prayer. But if you're not willing to be an answer to that prayer, there's not much use of praying. God, what would you have me to do? Be like Isaiah in the first of the book, when he says, "Oh Lord, I'm a wretch. Oh God, have mercy." The Lord touched him, and that call went out. Who shall go for us? He said, "Send me." And we need to have that kind of attitude about prayer. Then you find out the result of God's fast. There'll be a change in you. More of a change in the person that's doing the fasting than anybody else. What will be the change? Hey, we'll do what God asks us to do. We'll go out and try to unloose them bands of wickedness. Cast it off, this yoke, to feed the hungry with this word and with our bread as well, our physical bread as well. If you're just willing to give them this bread and you ain't willing to pull out of your pocket and feed a man that's hungry, now remember what James said. Remember what James said about that. You undo the heavy burdens, let the oppressed. It is not to deal thy bread to the hungry. You know, under the law, they could not hoard up food. They said, "We're putting it up for a rainy day. We got churches doing that. We're saving it up for a rainy day." It's wickedness. And they're like that all around, putting it back for a rainy day. Hey, we're supposed to live like they did when they was out there, you know, out there in the wilderness, day by day. People said, well, we shouldn't live from hand to mouth. Why not? Why not? Why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we live from God's hand to our mouth daily, every day? Well, I know the Bible says, you know, we need to plan and we need to do all that kind of thing. But hey, if you're going to keep back what belongs to God to save up for a rainy day, you know what happened? What the Bible said happens to riches, right? They get wings on them. And what you can save up for years can be gone in months. All it takes is to get really sick and have to go to where we all just love to go, to the hospital, to the doctor. Jim, what did you say that one drug was going to cost you?
$3,500
a month. How many of you can afford to get $3,500 a month for missions? Huh? Hey, God's in control. Melvin said, God's in control. We ought to live like it. Now, no, it ain't always easy because we see with these and we feel with this. We got to get this word in us till we start living by it, acting by it, moving by it. Take your Bibles. Turn over to the book of Luke, chapters 18. Just look at what Jesus had to say about this thing of fasting and prayers. We'll look at the whole chapter. Not all of it. It's not really. Not all of it's dealing with fasting. It's all dealing with prayer. It said, he spake a certain parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him and said, avenge me of mine adversaries. There was a burden. She had a burden on her. You know? And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming unto me, she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Remember them first verses, cry aloud, spare not. Cry aloud and spare not. Cry aloud and spare not. Man, you know, hey, if you want to see a change in government, cry aloud and spare not. Start writing some doggone letters to people, tell them what you think about government. Write your congressmen. Write your senators. Write your state legislature. Write your governor. Tell them. Say, you know what this state needs? You know what this country needs? It needs repentance towards God. I'm not ashamed. I wouldn't be ashamed to say that, are you? That's good. I think that's a good idea. I really think that'd be a great idea. If we could just get people to start bombarding them, tell them, say, look. I said, I don't know if you saved or not. He said, but that's what you need. If you want to be any kind of a governor, if you want to have any kind of wisdom to govern, you first need Jesus Christ. There used to be a time in this country no man would have ever thought about running that couldn't say that they had a church home. And if you asked them and they were going to say, I'm saved. Oh, I've been saved. I know the Lord. That was a prerequisite, but not now. Nobody would have ever thought in this country of voting in a Jewish man, or a Hindu. Oh, sorry about my stomach. what some people wraps the rags around their head? Muslim?
Muslim.
Yeah. I mean, what? Who? They didn't ever thought about it. They doing it now. They running them, voting them in. Cry aloud, spare not. And said, and she went to this unjust judge, and she cried aloud, and cried aloud, and cried aloud. Did it change anything? Yeah. He said, I will avenge her. Got his attention. Said, okay, I don't fear God, but this woman is wearing me out. And shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto them, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he shall avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. And he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous. And notice what the end of the verse said. They despised others. They considered themselves that they were righteous, and they despised others. Hold your place there. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Hold your place there. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Again, in verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever. Is that the same whosoever, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? This every man, woman, boy, and child on the planet, whosoever, do we believe that? That whosoever, O man, whosoever thou art, that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey, who are we going to despise? Wherein you despise another, guess what? You judge yourself. You're despicable. You're worthy to be despised. We all have been. Who are we to despise others? God looked upon us and he abhorred us. We were an abomination. And if Jesus Christ hadn't taken away our sins, we would still be an abomination. Men need the same forgiveness from us as that God has imparted to us. He says, if you forgive, neither shall you be forgiven. I forgive because Christ forgave me. Could you forgive a child molester? God can. Could God forgive a rapist? A murderer? Can God? Is there anything that God will not forgive? Yes. Rejecting Christ. That's it. hard for us to believe that. But he come right down to the end. He went through all of these things. He talked about those things that God hated. The everything that we could find unforgivable in ourselves, God said, don't you judge them, because you're guilty. He said, I've never murdered anyone. Bible said if you've been angry with anyone without just cause, you've murdered them already in your heart. I've never committed adultery on my wife. If you ever look upon a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery with her already. And don't even smile. We're sinners saved by the grace of God, and praise God, God don't see us as sinners anymore. And if God can be that way, that's the way we ought to be. And said, they despised others. They considered that they were righteous. They trusted in themselves. Get that. Notice that. They trusted who? They trusted themselves. They trusted their own thinking. And what we've already went over that over and over and again. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And they trusted in their own understanding. They trusted in themselves. And notice what they did. They trusted themselves. They were righteous. And he said, and two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. But what I want you to notice is the Pharisee stood and prayed. Who is he praying to? You think so? The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Who is he talking to?
Himself.
Yeah, he's talking to himself. Oh God, I'm glad. Oh God. Right off the bat, if he's praying to himself, he's talking to himself. Who's his God? We know that there's only one true God, but he saw God, the God that he had made, that he had created in his own mind. See, the God that he was praying to said that he was righteous. The God that he was praying to said that he was just. The God he was praying to said, that guy, that look at that nasty thing over there. You know, oh my gosh, a publican. Or a Samaritan. Or even worse yet, a Gentile dog. Nasty bunch of buzzards. Oh, gosh, how I detest them. If he had his way, he'd have killed every last one of them on the planet. He's a murderer. Pray within himself. He despised others. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off, not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote him upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And Jesus said these words, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I'm just raise up my hand, I'm guilty of this. I've been guilty of this from time to time. There's just some things that I just don't want to be around. Some people I just don't want to be around. There's some people I just, you know, I just find it hard to try to witness to. Man sitting in service, and you sit there and you know this guy as a fruit loop. You know what I mean. He comes down to the altar. How many of us are going to slide our arms around him? Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. You know he's as queer as a $3 bill, and you know it. You know, the Bible makes it plain that they had a problem with this, and we all do because it's our flesh. Some things we got to wrestle with. But this is the fast that Christ has chosen. He chose that publican who humbled himself. He said he went down justified. And that old Pharisee who thought he was just and righteous and looked within himself, I'm okay. He said, you know what Jesus thought of him? He said, you're a fool. You're not hearing the word of God at all. You take the word of God and you twist it. Rest it to your own destruction. And why are you hammering on this? I'll tell you why I'm hammering on this, because I'm guilty at times. And I don't think I'm too much different from other Christians. It's something that we got to deal with and fight with, and if we're ever going to make any kind of impact on the community, there's going to be something inside of us that really, truly cares about sinners. Lost sinners. Is there good lost sinners and bad lost sinners? Or are they all just dead men?
They're all sinners.
Yeah, they're all just dead men. Some of them's a little rottener than others, but they're all dead men. They all need one thing, and that's life. The life that only Jesus Christ can provide.
Amen.
And they need to get it from people who have compassion upon them and care. We can know the truth, but if our heart is not humbled to the fact that we are no better than they are, we're only in a better position. We're not better. Our old man is just as vile as theirs. Praise God, you've been saved. Praise God, you've got a new man in you. But you've got an old man that's just as vile, just as wicked, and just as depraved as any other man that walks these streets. Yes, yeah, but I believe now. I'm saved. I repented. You gonna give yourself the credit for that? You found God, didn't you?
Amen. God found me.
That's exactly right.
In a pit.
Yeah. It's mercy. Grace. We deserve it. Nothing about us. God in His mercy imparted grace to us. And then it goes on, he says, and they brought unto him also infants, that he should touch them. And when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter in. You ever notice? Unless a child has been taught to be a, what's the word I'm looking for? A bigot. They don't tend to see color.
Absolutely.
Huh?
Absolutely.
All they see is people. Oh, they might notice the difference. But usually you have to teach it, because little children don't have all that when they're just little. But as they grow up, they start making decisions. They start being affected by things that go on, things that people say to them, and their conscience ends up getting hardened as they grow up. I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall no wise enter in. This certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, Why are you calling me good? Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Now, do you believe that Jesus is saying he wasn't good? He asked him why he called him good, didn't he?
Amen.
He said, Do you recognize who I am? For there's none good but God. That's kind of humbling, wasn't it? He said, Well, I know you're not good. Are you saying that I am? He said, There's none good but God. That's what he needed. He needed to see who Jesus was. That's what people need. They need to see Jesus for who he really is. And they got to see themselves for what they really are. And God's church needs to see ourselves for what we really are and see him for who he really is and not who we think that he is, like that Pharisee did. See, he saw that he was good and just, and he saw God as being like him. Now, Jesus said, Are you saying I'm good? Or are you saying I'm God? He said, I'm telling you, you're not good. And then he said, What must I do? And Jesus said to him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Then Jesus heard him. He heard these things. He said to him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Now, I don't think he was saying that the one thing he lacked was getting rid of all of his money. What do you believe the one thing was that he lacked?
Christ.
That's right. He still didn't see who he was. He still wasn't willing to receive him, because there was something that he wanted more. Oh, he wanted to be saved. Oh, he did not want to go to hell. But he didn't want to give up those things that he wanted. He wasn't ready to give up himself for Christ. So he didn't have Christ. And said he went away very sorrowful. Go back to 58, Isaiah. Verse Notice what he told that fellow. He says, not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. And when thou seest the naked, thou shalt cover him, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shalt thy light break forth as the morning. Thy health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. And the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I, if thou take away of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, speaking vanity. Oh, thank God I'm not like them. Thank God I'm not like them. Empty words. You are exactly like them. And you just haven't seen it yet. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, humble us, I pray. Humble us, dear God, that we might be able to be used. Help us not to think of ourselves more than what's true. And help us to think no less of others than you would have us to think. And Lord, help us to make it our duty, our desire, and our plan to reach out to all men everywhere with what you have put in our hands. It's not ours. Help us to be stewards of your possessions. And Lord, help us to do as the wise man did and take those 10 talents and go forth and make 10 more. Take those 2 talents. Lord, help us not be as those that you have given and we did nothing with it. Help us to be awake and aware, dear Lord, of your desire and your plan for each one of us. And we'll thank you for it. Now bless now in the upcoming service. Whoever's to be preaching, God, pray you'd give them liberty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.